Four-Day Planet by H. Beam Piper. Chapter 1. The Ship from Terra. I went through the gateway, towing my equipment in a contragravity hamper over my head. As usual, I was wondering what it would take, short of a revolution, to get the city of Port Sandor as clean and tidy and well-lighted as the spaceport area. I knew Dad's editorials and my sarcastic news stories wouldn't do it. We'd been trying long enough. The two girls in bikinis in front of me pushed on, still gabbling about the fight one of them had had with her boyfriend, and I closed up behind the half-dozen monster hunters in long trousers, ankle boots, and short boat jackets, with big knives on their belts. They must have all been from the same crew, because they weren't arguing about whose ship was fastest, had the toughest skipper, and made the most money. They were talking about the price of tallow wax, and they seemed to have picked up a rumor that it was going to be cut another 10 centisols a pound. I eavesdropped shamelessly, but it was the same rumor I'd picked up myself a little earlier. "Hi, Walt!" somebody behind me called out. "Looking for some news that's fit to print?" I turned my head. It was a man of about 35 with curly brown hair and a wide grin. Adolf Lautier, the entertainment promoter. He and Dad each owned a share in the Port Sandor telecast station and split their time between his music and drama films and Dad's newscasts. "All the news is fit to print, and if it's news, the Times prints it," I told him. "Think you're going to get some good thrillers this time?" He shrugged. I just asked that to make conversation. He never had any way of knowing what sort of films would come in. The ones the Peñaminda was bringing should be fairly new, because she was outbound from Terra. He'd go over what was aboard and trade one for one for the old films he'd shown already.
"They tell me there's a real old Terran-style Western been showing on Volan that ought to be coming our way this time," he said. "It was filmed in South America, with real horses."
That would go over big here.
Almost everybody thought horses were as extinct as dinosaurs. I've seen so-called Westerns with the cowboys riding Frey and Okri. I mentioned that and then added, "They'll think the old cattle towns like Dodge and Abilene were awful sissy places, though."
"I suppose they were, compared to Port Sandor," Lautier said.
"Are you going aboard to interview the distinguished visitor?"
"Which one?" I asked. "Glenn Morrell or Leo Belcher?" Lautier called Leo Belcher something you won't find in the dictionary, but which nobody needs to look up. The hunters, ahead of us, heard him and laughed. They couldn't possibly have agreed more. He was going to continue with the fascinating subject of Mr. Leo Belcher's ancestry and personal characteristics, and then bit it off short. I followed his eyes and saw old Professor Hartzenbosch, the principal of the school, approaching.
"Oh, here you are, Mr. Lautier," he greeted. "I trust that I did not keep you waiting."
Then he saw me.
"Why, it's Walter Boyd. How is your father, Walter?"
I assured him as to Dad's health and inquired about his own, and then asked him how things were going at school. As well as could be expected, he told me, and I gathered that he kept his point of expectation safely low. Then he wanted to know if I were going aboard to interview Mr. Morrell.
"Really, Walter, it is a wonderful thing that a famous author like Mr. Morrell should come here to write a book about our planet," he told me very seriously, and added, as an afterthought, "Have you any idea where he intends staying while he is among us?"
"Why, yes," I admitted. "After the Peñaminda radioed us their passenger list, Dad talked to him by screen and invited him to stay with us. Mr. Morrell accepted, at least until he can find quarters of his own. There are a lot of good poker players in Port Sandor, but Professor Jan Hartzenbosch is not one of them."